Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the fire.
Hi, and welcome to Brain Healthy. I am your host, Jessica Aaronworth, and I'm really excited today because we have a special show for you. We are welcoming medium Armand Agidi to the show. His tagline, which I am absolutely in love with, is where there is darkness, he brings light. Where there is misunderstanding, he brings clarity. And Armand travels the world helping individuals bring inner peace to their lives. He's worked as a full-time professional healer for almost 10 years now, and he uses his psychic gifts to help others heal emotional wounds and face their deepest fears. As most of you will know, I find this topic fascinating. You can visit Armand on his website, mediumarmand.com. Hi, Armand. How are you? I'm so excited to have you here.
Yes, thank you very much for having me here, Jessica. I really, really am excited to talk with you, especially when somebody's excited about the whole topic area. I think is just it helps me to you know, spread what it is that I do and bring clarity to what it is and definition to what it is that I do.
Yeah, you know, as people who are listening regularly to the show will know, for me, it's been a really rough year, probably one of my roughest. But what's really become clear is the push I've had to follow this, what I call soulful world, this spirit world. So it's been an interesting transition for me within this year. It's something I've always been interested in. But something I really couldn't ignore anymore. I couldn't just play with it. I had to go head first, whatever the expression is, into it. Tell us a bit about how you became a medium.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to go back even a lot further, that when I was 2.5 years old, my mom was pregnant with my brother, and she was laying on her bed, you know, and with a pillow behind her, and I was on the floor playing with my cars and my trucks, you know, my toys, and, you know, I was making, you know, boy sounds or, you know, not even boy sounds, but truck sounds, you know, just being a kid, and I was, you know, making the motor sounds, my mom said that I stood up from the foot of the bed and looked at her, and I said to her, "That wasn't nice." And she was like, "What wasn't nice?" And I said, "You told me to stop playing with my damn cars and trucks and go in the other room." And she looked at me, and she said, "I picked up my stuff, and I went in the other room." But that she never uttered a word to me of what she was thinking. And she said, she told me that was the ignition point where she knew that I had something that she also has and ultimately discovered that my brother had later on in life, and that I have a grandfather that has the ability as well. But it was really from that point forward that in that same home, I had seen a ghost in that house. I had experienced the ghost grabbing me, believe it or not, while I was sleeping. That was like between the ages of 3 and say 5 years old. And then when we moved to the next house, I had seen orbs in my room, which are balls of energy. Yeah. I was 6. I'll never forget it because I was looking over the covers into this dark room in the middle of 5 acres of woods. So there were no streetlights. There were no headlights. And these balls of light were in my room. And I came out of the room in the morning, and I asked my sister if she had seen that, and she said, "Yeah, I saw it in my room too." She said, "What was that?" I'm like, "I have no idea." And we never spoke about it again, but later on to learn that those were, you know, orbs. And then as time went on, my ability to know, as I call it, it's a knowing, just began to accelerate and just happen. And I thought everyone had this. I thought everyone just knew what was going to happen or what somebody was thinking or can speak to those who have passed or feel them come in. And it just gained in a lot of strength. I'll wrap it up by saying that when I was in eighth or ninth grade, I got involved with drugs and alcohol, and that lasted all the way to the age of 25. And in those years, everything went dark, if you will. And I was not as cognizant or as didn't have that mediumship, didn't have that clarity, let's say, that I do today. But once I got clean and sober, and I was 25 years old when that happened, all of this started coming back again. You know, all of what I have today, all of the knowing started to happen again because I came out of the darkness and came back into the knowing, into the light. So.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So you now use your skills to help people heal, which is, I love the healing world. Can you talk about how you do that? Because I know that there's, you know, when we talk about mediums and psychics, there really is a, what I feel, a different perception. I know when mm-hmm. when that the word medium and psychic come up, a lot of my friends who are not in this soulful world will kind of roll their eyes, and you know, the impression they have is that woman at the round table.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
cheesy
yeah.
stuff, which I think marred the term, you know, long ago. But now it seems that medium, psychic, spiritual healing, it's taking on a new life. But I think it's also a very misunderstood term. And I don't think people realize how much healing can actually happen through these types of sessions. So can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, and how you're describing things, that, you know, there is a stigma placed on, you know, that it's going to be the pink psychic flashing light on a storefront in a inner city or a town or along a highway where you go in and all they tend to do is grab more money from you and do trickery and it's really deception, and it's, you know, there's a whole way that in history that this has been portrayed, or that it was witchcraft, you know, years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten a stigma to it that in some way it's this this put on or this magicalness or this smoke and mirrors. And I think that that has been broadcasted out in society through the media, through television, through just the way that they tend to coin the whole thing of a psychic. The other thing I'll bring up with that is that psychics are looked upon, it's this, like when I say make a copy and somebody says, well, can you make a Xerox of this? They use that name synonymously with being a medium. Well, are you a psychic or are you a medium? Well, the psychic covers it, doesn't it? Because it's used as a term that covers all of the areas. Sometimes people look at it in that way. I will say that in the last X amount of years, that there's been this kind of thinning of the veil. You know, the separation between the other side and here has been thinning out. Why? Because people like John Edwards, people like, you know, James Van Praagh, or you begin to take a look at the other mediums that really have taken this step forward to say, you know, like Ellen DeGeneres for the gay world, it's took that step forward that demystified, you know, what being a psychic is, what being a medium is, and how does it now look? What is that really? So that really, you know, trailblazed and created this different think about what a medium is. And then we have shows like Medium or Joan of Arcadia, which I love that show, that gives this other view of what this knowing is really all about, that it isn't just fortune telling as psychics are usually looked upon as being this fortune teller, that it's more than that. What I always talk about is that this is a knowing. And the healing begins when a person comes to me and I'm able to get onto that highway, so to speak, of knowing. It's like plugging a cord into an outlet and you plug into the electricity of the home and you're able to then get that electricity flowing into you, and then I can give that to the person. It's like plugging into that network, if you will. And once that happens, what's given to that person who might not know how to do that on their own is this confirmation, is this validation that their loved one has made it. And here I could have never known this or that or the other thing. This is what they're giving me, and it is them, because how would I have ever known that, you know, whatever the piece is that I, you know, a doll or a number or something. So it validates it. This brings about a level of healing because as souls, as energies, the people that we love and we're separated from who have transitioned to the other side, if you will, to the other dimension, to the other frequency, are there. And the relief that we get on this earthly plane, knowing that here's a man, Armand Egidi, sitting in front of me, and who's giving me this information that he could have never known, validates the fact that they are there, because Armand would have never known that. And he's telling me my mom loves me. But if I give them the validation, then the two mix, and it's like, okay, now I have the real information he could have never known along with the message. You see?
Mm.
Does that help? I guess it almost overly answers the question, maybe.
No, there's no such thing as overly. I love learning.
Yeah.
I don't think there is any thing as overly, because I think it's a really complex topic for people to understand. And a lot of the time, unless you've been through it yourself, and you've had your own experiences, it's even more difficult to understand and put together in your mind, because the way our world kind of works, I really separate the physical world from the soulful world, and we're all trying to find our spot on the bridge. How do I balance both worlds in order to be happy and healthy and live in this world? So I think the more information people can get, the more helps them to build their own foundation of healthiness and happiness. And I think that really is what's missing in a lot of therapeutic models out there, is a really good life foundation.
Yeah, I very, very much agree with you, because we're kind of taught from the time that we're born all the way into the world that, you know, and I think a lot of children and babies have this level of knowing. I always say that, you know, when I get information, if I'm on the FM dial, I'm at 103. The person who's coming to see me is at 101, and the information is at 105. And I grab from the 105 and I give to the 101 and I'm at 103. I think when children are born into this world, they have some of that 105 still with them. And as they begin to kind of come into the world, it begins to move down the scale, 104, 103, 102, comes down, because if it's not nurtured, if it isn't helped along or educated or validated, then it tends to lose its steam. It's like learning Spanish and, you know, let's say in high school, and then never using it, so you lose the words. You somehow can't speak the language anymore. And I think that this is in part what that is like. So indeed, as you talk about two worlds and how to create that balance, it's learning how to live in this world and keep that revamped way of thinking of what this other side is to us, why it's there, and how we play a part in the other side, and the other side plays a part with us.
Yeah. When my son was, he must have been 4 years old, he was having a conversation with his dad, and his dad said something about infinity being the highest number in the universe. And at 4 years old, my son corrected him and said, "No, Dad, infinity is not the highest number. Actually, Google is," with attitude and all. And we actually had to look it up because I didn't know Google had another meaning other than the Google search engine. And when we looked it up, he was right. And there was no way he could have known that because we didn't know that.
Absolutely. It reminds me of a time when I had somebody I was in front of reading, and he said to me, I said, "You know, I'm getting that there is a father-like figure behind you. It's not your father, but they're writing out the letters of Radio Flyer, but in gold letters. Does this mean anything for you?" And he said, "Yes." He goes, "That's my uncle, and he gave me the 50th anniversary of the Radio Flyer wagon, which was written out in gold letters." So, you know, from your son to myself, who is a medium, who is getting from the other side, that these are the validations, these are the strengths of the validations that come through. And, you know.
Right. It's fascinating. If you have a question for Armand, please feel free to call in at 646-716-7979. So before we started, I noticed that this is episode 21 of this show. And it's been very interesting because in this very rough year that I have been having, I am being followed around by the numbers 12 and 21. I cannot tell you how many times those two numbers come into my life consistently on a daily basis. What does that mean?
Well, you're,
can I
you
ask
know,
you what that means?
Yeah, the very thing is that there is, when we see that number, when we wake up in the middle of the night and we see 111 or 222, and it consistently, let's say, happens every night, for some people, it's a soothingness, knowing that the other side is connecting with us, saying, "It's okay." You know, you're waking up at the time, it's okay. For a lot of people, those are angel numbers, or you're being shown that the other side is on it, you know, that you're there. So that 12 and that 21 seems to get your attention. It has a sense, I'm guessing, because it feels like that it's what it is for you, a sense of a calming or a soothingness to it, that that number keeps on happening, especially in such a turbulent year, that you're getting some sort of sign or some sort of a number or some sort of, hey, this is not happening by chance. This is happening because you're being supported. You know, we are here. We are here, you know.
Right.
And it feels supportive
and that is
to you,
exactly how.
Yeah.
Sorry?
That's exactly how it feels to you?
Yeah, you know what? Whenever I see it, I know I'll be okay. I know everything will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of come, it's come to be, it has come to be a calming and soothing reminder. So, yes, it's definitely been interesting.
And it could be guardian angels. It could be a grandfather of yours. It can be those that are there saying, "We're on the job. It's you're going to be okay." You know, there's a beginning, middle, and end to every problem, every issue, everything that we go through. There's a beginning, middle, and end to it. And I think that's that soothing piece saying, you know what, it's okay. You're getting through it, and there'll be an end to the intensity in which you're feeling.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Right. You traveled the world.
Yes.
Reading people.
Yeah.
That must be exciting.
It is very exciting. I have a map in my place, and I've got the little pins in it from everywhere that I've been. And I looked at it and thought, I've been in every continent, you know, traveling around the planet and to, you know, countries as far as Australia, Brazil, Hong Kong, Canada. I was to Alaska, Hawaii, you know, all over reading people. It is nothing but, I don't even know there's a word to describe it, just this excitement inside that I get to bring people, no matter where they are, this sense of comfort, this sense of peace and calm, bringing through the energies who have passed for them, also messages from their guardian angels and their guides, information about their health and how they're doing. In some of these locations, I have been able to clear homes of energies that were not so friendly to the people who resided in them, or businesses that had energies in them that they really needed them to move on. I've done past life regressions for people in some of these locations, helping them to take a look at where they're at today and how their past lives have played a role and where they're at today. So, you know, I've helped people to grow and a level of healing and development, and to re-steer them. It's like kind of like a rudder getting re-steered by the other side, and helping them to get back into the main shipping lanes, to get back into the motion of life. Some are stuck, and some just, you know, love getting read. It's a mixture.
And I think there's a very nice blend between what your skills help people get through and understand, and the emotional health world. Because I know as an emotional health, working with people in the emotional health realm, there are people who are just really stuck. And it, no matter what happens, it's very hard to get them unstuck. And as I come to learn more about energy, vibrations, spiritual healing, there's such a nice complement, because we don't necessarily realize or recognize that we may be stuck because of past lives. Some things that in a traditional psychotherapy session or counseling session would probably never come up or never come to terms. And most people who don't use their intuition or don't know how to use their intuition it would get lost. And I think sometimes by using the different skills and skill sets, we get people unstuck a lot faster.
You really do, because, you know, the main key here is that, and be it in psychology or be it in a past life regression or be it in anybody's life, that lessons will be repeated until they are learned. And I think across the board in anything that is being taught, this, you know, be it any religion or be it any psychology or in the mental area, anything, lessons will be repeated until they are learned. And I think I help with a past life regression if there has been a history of anger, or there's a history in some of the other lives of alcohol abuse or things, or codependency, or somehow that they allow themselves to be abused. And I mean, it's really the soul, the energy, working themselves through, you know, each of these lives in succession, that they are able to work that issue out. It's the same thing in therapy. You know, when one person gets into one relationship and then moves into a similar one, it's like that's where each time they walk in front of, okay, which way are you going to go, left or right? Are you going to take what it is that you normally have been doing, or are you going to take the road to the right that might be a little bit different, nervous to do? What if, you know, in that road to the right, what if this happens? What if I'm alone? Or do you want to make that change and allow that unknown to happen so that you change the course of your history? And I think that's so very important. Changing the course of your history. You know, people who, you know, have their own will, they can, you know, there's a rudder behind us. And whether somebody, people have their hands on that rudder and they can be steering it in one direction. And they can steer themselves right onto the edge of a river and rip their hull up on the rocks of that river. Or they can allow that help by a therapist, by a medium, by whomever is the helping force in their life that is of good light and love that's trying to help them through, to re-steer them with that rudder, their own higher power to help them re-steer them back into the mainstream of life. So I think all of us in this helping arena get a chance to give a person that option of getting into the mainstream of their world, their potential.
Yeah, and I love that, not a line, but that vision of changing the course of our history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Because
it's nice to think of life in that way.
Exactly. And the relief that the person gets from changing the course of their history, getting into that mainstream, means that they don't have to suffer. Suffering and pain can be optional, depending on what we're talking about, can be optional. You know, if you don't like the way you're feeling, change the way that you look at it. Look at it differently. Do different things. Think of it differently. Different action, different response. Stay in the solution. What do I do about it? Because once a person stays in the fear of it, that forget everything and run, F-E-A-R, and they stay in the fear of it, then they're immobilized. Then no change happens. No matter what helping field is coming toward that person, they stand immobilized by fear.
Yes. And that's when life tends to go downhill, no matter how hard you try. That's when it becomes such a struggle to wake up in the morning.
Exactly. Because it's that, before you know it, it's Monday again. It's like, oh. You know, it's sometimes people get in, you know, once you start to not make the healthier choices and decisions, our mind begins to get into that groove of thinking, of staying in the doldrums, and like, before you know it, it kind of sounds like Eeyore, you know, and then, you know, frustration and anger and all that. But I think if, you know, in having a choice between change and staying the same, it's worth going into that, almost that fearful path of change, of the unknown, to take that risk. Because then you alleviate all of that time of the pain that you would go through staying in a marriage, staying in a situation that doesn't feel good for you. And it's the same thing when people have relatives who have passed. You know, there is a mourning of a loss, especially of children, and that is the biggest of all, or a spouse that somebody was so close to that, they, you know, it's not like think differently and you'll get out of it, because when you lose a spouse that you're so, so close to and lose a child, there is so much immersion that you have in each other's lives and so much glue, so much intensity that it's unbelievable and unbearable. And there's no words to really even describe it. But they too can get a level of relief in being able to talk about it, being able to see a medium and be able to get the understanding that their loved one is there, which tends to ease it ever so much, you know.
As we're talking, it's just come to my realization that this is actually episode 1221, as we are the 12th today. Episode 21. I just had to say that. If you have any questions, please call in at 646-716-7979. Now, you teach.
Yes.
You teach people, if I have this right, you teach people how to use their intuition and use their gifts and all of that. For people who are interested, who want to increase their intuition, who want to start working with the different clairs and find out where their gifts lie, because I do believe everyone has gifts, where would they start?
Well, I think first things first, that it's really important to know that when a person wants to work on their abilities, when they want to work on their gifts, there has to be a little bit, depending on the person, a little bit of cleaning of house. Because what happens is that a person may have certain religious beliefs, certain guilt, certain shame, thinking it, you know, certain beliefs that they have been taught over their lifetime that actually will create a barrier from diving right into learning your abilities, you know, and tuning into that highway of knowing. So one of the first things when I work with people and I teach them is that we first have to get through some of those barriers that sometimes can be there for them. I think that, you know, over time, we then work through some of those barriers and we're able to now kind of allow this clarity to begin to come in. Now we can work with that knowing. I'll mention at the end, but I'll also mention now that I have a group that I work with on Thursdays in Flemington, New Jersey, called the Knowing Gift and Ability Development Group. And that can be found on meetup.com. Or people can go to my website, which is www.mediumarmand, and Armand is ARMAND.com, and just message me there. They can also go to mediumarmand@yahoo.com if they want, you know, information. They can email me. So that's medium, and then Armand is ARMAND. At yahoo.com. They can do it that way too, and I can provide the information and how to get, you know, come to the classes. The other thing is I do it privately too. Some people don't want to be in a class. They want one-on-one work with this, and so I help them to do it that way too. So getting through some of the impasses, I then work with a person on how to sense and feel that highway of information, how to plug in, how to get that. Some people it takes a while to get to that point, a little while to get to that point. Others can hop right in. It all varies from person to person.
Neat. And so if people are interested, when you do one-on-one work, do you work distance-wise with people, or is it always just location-specific?
I can travel to a person if somebody needs me to come to them. I've had people that will go over the phone with me or Skype or FaceTime or on the phone. It works best. I like it in person, but Skyping and FaceTime is just, you know, a good second place to being in person with somebody. But I've had people over time do the Skype and FaceTime. And then on occasion, if I'm in the area or if they wish me to fly out to them, then I fly to them when we do some sessions one-on-one, or some people have put me up for about a week's time and we do concentrated work on this for, you know, each day for a week. I go to what the person needs and what they're willing and would like me to do for them. I've spent, actually at most, I've spent 2 weeks with somebody working on them on a daily and with meditation and with the how-to and helping them to hone in on their abilities and their gifts, not just medium-wise, but, you know, just that the clairvoyancy, that sense of knowing, all of that, whatever it is that they're working on, you know, Reiki, what have you, how to tune in better while doing that as well. So I do what the person needs, really.
Amazing. And yeah. I think it's important that everyone really learn how to work with their intuition. I think as a practitioner, it helps immensely when, working with your client and knowing the best path to take with them. And I know for clients who start trusting and believing in themselves, life becomes a whole lot easier. What are some of the most important lessons you feel you've learned through the work that you do?
I think the most important lesson, I mean, one of the first things that came to mind as you were saying that, it's kind of what I was mentioning a little bit before, the most glaring piece that I have inside of maybe a person's impasse is that fear that we talked about earlier that immobilizes them. I have been struck with this, oh my gosh, you know, how many people, all of us, I think all of us have this anyway. I mean, I don't walk on water or anything like that, so I have my fears too, but how immobilizing it is to people to when they're stuck in that fear and don't know how to get out of it or get afraid of leaving certain situations or if they don't mourn the loss of a loved one or they don't go to the gravesite of that loved one and in some way they're not loving them anymore or in some way they're disrespecting them. I think that's one of the big pieces inside of what I've found with others. The other thing is how much there are interruptions in a person's mourning of their loss because they have these feelings inside that I may not be getting to heaven. I did this wrong, I did that wrong, now they must be mad at me because they're in heaven and they know the truth. And, you know, so it's a lot of this getting caught up in that human side of it and not maybe fully realizing that when a person does get to divine spirit, when they are in that other dimension or in that other frequency, as I like to say it, and they've just transitioned there, they are really engulfed and surrounded by love and understanding and about growth and learning, teaching and all of that. And they're not as, you know, angry or as upset because they are really ensconced in this higher energy's love and existence, you know, and their goal is to kind of bring understanding and light, you know, as guardian angels and guides and, you know, looking down upon, you know, or, you know, with their loved ones, how can I help? I mean, they're more of that rather than resentment. So I think that's the other piece too.
Right. And just to reiterate that, because I think that it's such an important piece that the energy on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I'm hearing, the energy on the other side is such a loving, peaceful energy that there is no hate or disappointment or anger or mistrust. It's really, it is that, you know, soulful world. When we are here on Earth, our physical world tends to be more negative. We get locked into those more negative emotions, the fear and the anger and the resentment and the mistrust and all those things that hold us back in life. But the more we learn how to be in the soulful world, the more life becomes lighter, the more we tend to raise our vibration, and that's what brings more peace and happiness. And then the crossing over, that, from what I understand, tends to be the lightest and most peaceful thing that you can't even imagine.
It really is what you're saying. It really, that transition between the physical, earthly plane, if you will, and that buoyancy of loving energy that we then get ensconced with. It's like being very cold and then getting into a hot tub of water, but the water and the heat of that hot tub is more of the warmth and the love that is emitted by transitioning, by being with, as I call, the one love, divine spirit, being with that energy, that it is all about staying in the solution, staying in the love, staying in what do I do about it, let me help, it's all about it's a sense of purity. And as you just mentioned, that I think most of us can't even really fathom being that soaked in with that much love and understanding, and being part of that solution, when they're there, because they continue to work. It's not like you're just kind of on a cloud floating around. It's more along the lines of they're still learning and growing and developing in that next dimension. There's a continued, life, the learning continues. And that is then how we have these guardian angels and these guides and the help that we get. And when we talk to them, our loved ones into a higher energy, that, this is part of their aid to us, in trying to help us along, and grow.
Yes. It's interesting. The thought that came into my mind while I was listening to you was that of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's been a very big theme in my thoughts lately. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of clients. I work with a lot of individuals. And I tend to hear a lot about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really being brought forth to me is that the way we do relationships in our world is the furthest thing from unconditional love.
Right. There's always a payment for it. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this to get something in return. It's like, if I do this, then you do this, then it's all if-thens.
Yeah, it's either that or it becomes, what we term a codependent relationship. I love you so much that I want to know where you are 24/7. And, maybe not that to that extent. But often when we start new relationships, people are so interested in what the other person's doing. And then there is that, if I give this to you, I want this in return, or I want.
Sure.
I'm finding that very interesting the more I notice it, the more I see it. Because as relationships in our world fall apart, with a divorce rate of 50% at this point in time, and less people getting married, this is becoming a huge issue in our world. And as the world climate shifts in all different ways, I think it's something that we need to start talking about.
I think so,
and
too.
I'm
sorry, say again.
And you are the person I'm going to start this conversation with.
Can I just go to one thing you had mentioned? It was interesting because you had said, and I need to know where you are because I love you. And one of the things that struck out from that is that very often impasses or things like that are really about fear, that future events appear real. It's based out of fear and expectations for people. And they feel that, by knowing where you are at every moment, is because then that somehow creates a level of predictability for me, that I can predict where you're going to be, where you're going to are, and then this way nothing will happen to you because I know where you are. And it's, you know, it's this fear, predictability, and expectations. I think those are the three strong pieces when it comes to impasses and issues and problems, you know, clinically and, you know, not clinically in our world.
Yeah. And that fear of change.
Yeah.
Which, who likes change? You know, people are so scared of change and they hold on to things for dear life even when they're not serving in
right.
a healthy way.
Because it's based out of fear. I'll hold on to
yeah.
the lack of wanting change because it will be uncomfortable. It will not be predictable. And I have a fear and I have an expectation. At least I, if it's dysfunction and I'm living it, at least I'm aware of the parameters of the dysfunction and it's predictable. It's not enjoyable, but it's predictable. So I'd rather stay in what is predictable because who knows what could happen? There's that fear. Who knows what could happen if I actually make a change? Then I'll be responsible for people's feelings and emotions. Everything will fail. There's this failure thing that if I take this blind leap of faith into change, and I just leap into this sense of change that all of a sudden I'm going to fail. It's kind of like going up to the guy or the girl in the bar or in the restaurant or in the grocery store or in a group that you're in or wherever it is and going, I'm afraid to start a conversation because they're not going to like me. They're not going to want me. But we tend to roll that predictability of what that prediction is going to be. And very often it's based in a level of fear and I can't because I'll fail. So therefore I won't do it. And it keeps us immobilized, that fear. It's all based in that.
Yeah. And that's where, and I really want to emphasize this because I think this is where a lot of what a lot of people don't understand, that's where the clarity comes
mm-hmm.
in. The more you can understand why you're feeling what you're feeling, what's holding
mm-hmm.
you back, the more
mm-hmm.
you have what I like to call a spiritual foundation or a foundation for life, whatever that may be, the more clarity you bring into your life. And then the easier it becomes to have faith and trust that life wants nothing but the best for you.
Absolutely.
Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that word trust, which is very, very important because believing in something, some body of knowledge, even if somebody doesn't want to believe in quote unquote God, but believing in some body of knowledge that knows more about the recovery that you're about to go through than you do, that's the key. Let me describe this to you. I have said this over and over again everywhere I've gone in the world, and this is exactly what I'm talking about right now, that if I put a chair in the room a distance from me, and that chair is my goal, what I do is I'm standing here and I want to make that change. I have hope that that chair will hold me when I go to sit in it as I stand up from where I'm at. As I walk toward that chair, I begin to have a level of faith that that chair can hold me. Once I begin to lower my weight into that chair, then I have belief. And it's not until I see if that chair will hold me will I have that belief. And that trust, you see. And that's the key. And it really goes back to, if you want to get clinical about it, it really goes back to, you know, we look at our God, whoever that God is, quote unquote, is a representation of how we were treated growing up by our caretakers. Because those caretakers are our God. They give us everything we need. And sometimes not, but everything we need. And that's the point of it. If our cries are not met with soothing, if there's criticism, if as we grow up, there's that sense of the bottom is going to fall out, I can't trust, I can't, you know, there's this fear that gets built up in trusting an energy that knows more about things than I do. I have found that that's where some of the basis is in people's lives when they go to trust either a higher power, because that's usually the way we think of a God, is the way that we grew up, you know, and our caretakers, and that trust in, say, AA or, you know, 12-step recovery meetings or a sponsor or a loved one or somebody that knows something more about what we're going through. So I think that that really covers that, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love Martin Luther King has a quote, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the full staircase."
Yep, that's it. That's it. That's it.
And yeah, that man has brilliant, brilliant quotes. But in life, you can never see the full staircase because you don't know what's coming.
Exactly.
And it's like we see this little TV set, but we don't see everything that surrounds it.
Exactly.
And when we learn to have faith and trust that everything that surrounds it supports us, no matter how difficult it may be, once we learn the lessons, life gets better. I think what's really hard for people, though, is to trust that you can and will learn those lessons, that you can decipher what those lessons are for you. Sometimes you need help doing it, though. And people, because depending where they are in the world, because our world, physical world is so negative, it becomes so difficult for people to let go and to trust because we are taught not to trust. If we think of our world now, I know where I live, our kids can barely go outside without an adult, without being, you know, having a police pick them up.
Right.
So that's going to get worse and worse unless we shift how the paradigms that we live within.
Exactly. It's what we're bathed in and what we're taught and how, you're exactly right, all of what you just said. It's how we're bathed and how are we bathed in what? In having hope and faith and belief and, you know, and really and having you know, a certainness in our sense and of the future that we can move ahead as long as we have that belief we can move ahead and anything is possible. Because you're right, in a world of fear, because that's what this is all is of what's going on right now, everything is based in fear, and that just immobilizes everyone. There's a fear.
Exactly.
Everyone's afraid, you know. And that's how the dark comes in, you know. What's happening in the world today is a battle between the good and the bad, the dark and the light, and you know, you go back and forth. It really is this kind of this volley between the two. But the thing that's crippling is the fear. It's crippling.
Yes, I
that's
agree.
Why terrorism works,
actually,
you know.
Exactly, and it's really what creates a community that can be controlled in negative ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to laugh right now because I'm just looking at our switchboard and we have a listener online, not asking questions, but just online. And the area code is 212. So I just find that funny in my 12s and 21s.
Oh, that's right. I just thought of that. That's right. Correct. Yeah.
See, I'm surrounded. It's very funny.
I'm
I love it. Love it.
Month, if that does anything for you.
I was born actually 12/12.
Oh no! There you go.
and my son was born today, which is 12.
Oh.
So yes, it's a very significant number. Wow, we're born in the same month. That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
We have to start wrapping up.
Okay.
But if you were to leave our listeners with one last thought, what would that be?
I think it's just a couple of things. Stay in the light, which means to stay in the solution. Stay in the what to do about things. I think that's very important. I would leave listeners with that, and that nothing is forever, that there is a beginning, middle, and end to everything, and that there is another side. Some people don't think that, but there is. And to have faith and not fear, I would just kind of say all of that and encompass that, yeah. Can I leave with my website and everything for those who might have grabbed a pencil while they were a pen? Okay. So to go to my website.
And we have the links on this page too.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
If you're looking for Armand, you can reach him on his website at mediumarmand.com, mediumarmand.com. You can also visit him on Facebook. Armand, what's your Facebook
page? If they type in Medium Armand, they should get that. There's actually a public figure page. There's a page where to let people in to friend. But if they go to the public figure page, they can get where I'm going to be, you know, by the events and all of that. If they want a reading, I would say not to, you know, friend me, because some people are like, oh, you get the information that way, so don't friend me yet. But you can, you know, look at the page where you would kind of friend request and kind of see all the people that I read and videos and different things that are there. And some people don't want to go to the media that way. They want to go through my email, which
really
is mediumarmand@yahoo.com. I'm sorry?
You have some really cool videos up there. I've watched a few of them.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
Really,
yeah. They're really, really neat. But I would say, too, if somebody wants to reach me by email, because it's more private to them, then mediumarmand, A-R-M-A-N-D, @yahoo.com.
Perfect. And if you are trying to reach me, you can reach me at brainhealthyclinic.com or on Facebook at Brain Healthy. Armand, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely loved it.
Yep, thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure talking to you and bringing some understanding to those out there that might have had questions along these lines.
Amazing. Anytime you want to come on, we're always here. You can reach me, brainhealthyclinic.com. Have a great week, and we will see you on the next episode of Brain Healthy.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.